Welcome back to Download here on 720 WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman. Well, it's time for Industry Night, our Monday night journey into the world of food and hospitality. My guest tonight grew up right in the Chicago area. After a couple years away from town, Chef Diana Davila is back with her Logan Square restaurant, Mi Tocaya Antojeria.
Hey.
Did I get that right? I
got
those.
Antojeria, you got it right.
It's been open for just a couple months and already getting rave reviews nationally. It was just named to Bon Appetit's top new restaurants list. Davila is no stranger to Chicago diners. She was a chef at Cantina 1910, and before that, she was out in D.C. for a stretch. And even before that, she was cooking in her parents' restaurant in Oak Forest. But now she's back and turning heads with her new and her own style of Midwestern Mexican. Chef Diana Davila, welcome to the Download. Great to see you.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. I got to do, there's a thing. I told everybody at the restaurant I was going to do this. We do this chant every day before service. We say, we ask everyone if they're ride or die. Of course, everybody says yes. And then after that, we go, Mi Tocaya on three. So, Mi Tocaya!
Well, I guess it's probably self-explanatory.
It's a warrior chant.
I was going to say, why do that just before it opens? It's just get everybody, it gets everybody psyched up.
You know, everybody feels so, I think, and the team, everybody feels such a part of it. They all feel like they've all contributed, you know, like, so we have a warrior chant, and then we also say todos ponen, which means everybody puts in. So it's just very fitting to, like, you know, go out there with a huge bang before we open doors.
You hear about that maybe in a theater production or someone getting up on stage in a band or even a sports team.
Dining is like that.
Yeah, so dining,
you know,
is like
it's 100% like that. You know, as servers, they have to go out, read every guest is different, you know. So, like, I always tell them, you know, this is a performance. You know, like, you have to mold yourself to each person. Sometimes they don't know anything about Mexican food. Sometimes they do. Sometimes they, like, this is their thing where they're making their way down a list of places they want to go to. So they have to kind of extract all of that. And then still, what part of the Mi Tocaya, like, thing that we're trying to do, how are they going to give that?
Yeah.
So
where does that come from? I mean, you grew up in a restaurant family. Mentioned the restaurant Oak Forest. Do you feel that that has been instilled in you at an early
age? Yeah, you know, I think hospitality in general, there's a thing about, you know, there's two parts to it. Like, I think that in Mexican culture, when you have people over, there's a certain way that you accept people into your home, a certain way that, you know, of, again, hospitality. And so I think that there's a lot of that involved. And then there's also seeing my parents, you know, they opened their first taqueria when I was in fourth or fifth grade. And, you know, seeing my mom working a floor, seeing my dad, like, you know, my dad is not a social person, you know, like, and seeing him forced to kind of deal with it, like, this is his business though, you know, so like, you kind of have to shed that. And so I think that part of it definitely was always in me because of that.
Well, let's talk about the food. For being in that, let's take back to, was Hacienda Jalapenos is his name of it.
You're killing it on the pronunciation.
That's
today.
Right. That's really, I worked really hard. I skipped the eclipse and everything for this. But well, let me ask, there's the restaurant business, which you're running your own Red Star. But let's talk about the food. From being at a young age exposed to a restaurant and living your life around a restaurant, what did you learn? What did you take from that you bring to your restaurant today?
You know, cooking was always a really big part. I think and especially in Mexican culture, cooking is a really, really, really part of our culture of growing up. And having spent my summers in Mexico, I had an aunt who, you know, I was like her, she had three boys, so I was like, you know, I was her little girl, and she would always take me. And I had a real interest in going to the markets with her, you know, going and learn. She loved learning about cooking and going to different places. And every time that we would travel, you know, I would just pick up these things. Of course, I didn't know that then, you know, I just knew I liked it. So I think that is probably the biggest influence, you know. You know how you know things and you don't even know until you're like, you know, when I'm doing menu development, I'm like, oh, well, I remember when we went to Casitas Veracruz, you know, the little jaiba rellenas that they were doing on the playa, like, that's going to be my muse for this dish. You know, like, so there's those things that you don't know it at the time, but that's what's always constantly inspiration behind things. Above all.
And reading your story and of course, the piece that Bon Appetit did on you, including you in the top new restaurants list, there was a lot of emphasis on Midwestern Mexican. And, you know, there's a big Mexican population here in Chicago. Talk about what that means, because we know the Americanized version of Mexican that we see in taquerias all over Chicago. But talk about what Midwest Mexican means to you.
To me, there's like kind of two parts of that. Like one part of like when I talk about being Midwest Mexican, there's the part of that where it's like, oh, poor me, acceptance, you know, because going spending my summers in Mexico, I did some schooling in Mexico as well. You know, they would look at me and they'd be like, because I would be part of the last of the school year, I would still be there, and they'd be like, oh, tu prima la Americana. They would call me la Americana, you know, like, which would be so strange to me, you know, because, and then here everybody's like, oh, well, you're a Mexican, you know. So like, I hated when people would call me Chicana because it sounded so bad. I don't know why. And so like, now I actually have a cocktail named Chicana because of that. So like, I think that as you get older and you kind of come to terms with things, and it's just like, I don't have to be accepted from either there or there. Like, you kind of make your own terms. Mm-hmm. And so I've kind of embraced it. I'm like, you know what? I am Chicana. I'm, you know, I love Chicago. I came back from DC because I missed this, you know, this is my home. And I knew I wanted to, when I was going to go, you know, to the wall, go hard and try to get this, you know, like do a restaurant, do Make Your Dream, that I wanted it to be here. So, like, it's like embracing your Mexican Chicago roots, you know, your Mexican-American roots.
And
so that's me.
That's you. That's the culture side mm-hmm. of it, the food side.
And then the food side of it is just, like, because since I had the opportunity to, you know, kind of travel all over Mexico, I also got to see how everywhere, Mexico's such a large country, and the way they do things in every single little town is so different according to where they are geographically, what they're growing, totally is 100% how they do things. Because obviously, if there's, you go to a place, there's places where, you know, all you see is cecina everywhere, where it's like the sun-cured, lightly cured bola de res with lime. And it's, you know, so that's called cecina. And like, that's where it's from, you know, because that's where the sun is. You know, there's, mm-hmm. or like the ranch in northern Mexico is much more, there's just so many little places
because of
like
the,
that.
Because mm-hmm. of the region.
Because where they are.
Right.
And so because of my last, you know, venture at Cantina 1910, I really kind of really dove into what grows here in the Midwest, you know, and I think that I was really surprised. And then that totally changed the way I wanted to make Mexican food, because it's exactly, it's like a subculture, you know, like it's like I'm making Mexican food with what is here available. You know, I don't have to get everything imported from, like I have a sauce where instead of putting chicatanas, which is an insect, I use crickets that are here locally, you know, like little things like that, you know, like where you just sub things in according to what you have available, which makes sense.
Does
to
it
me.
Change when you
it does,
approach
but
the
everything
food?
Needs to evolve. And that's a part of cooking, you know, like if you're just cooking the same damn thing every time, well, that's boring, you know, but but I am a firm believer that you have to have a foundation.
When you're talking about being inspired by the ingredients that are around you in the Midwest, do you have to train your cooks a certain way to think differently about the food if the ingredients are not the same as what might be well known in Mexican or Oaxaca cooking in that form?
You know, a lot of times that's the thing about, you know, like I've been cooking for a long, long time, you know, like in culinary years, I feel like I'm like 55, you know, like, so, you know, it kind of, to me, you have to be a cook for a long time to kind of discover all these different things. You know, there's, you know, not only did I work at my parents' restaurants, but I also worked with some amazing chefs, you know, where I got to learn a lot about foundationally just how restaurants work in a sense of like kitchens and organization and techniques and what happens. Why do you, you know, like a simple thing that acid cuts fat. Now, when you learn that, you plug that formula in with everything that you're making, you know, how it is. The science behind cooking, you know, is important. But cooking is like a whole array of things. You know, you have to know techniques. You have to know the flow of service. You have to set yourself up. But then you also need to be one with your ingredients. You know, like you can't just be a scientist. You have to kind of treat every tomato a little bit differently because
it's like the soul of it, right? Yeah,
exactly.
It's the art of it.
Uh-huh,
right.
Exactly. So there's this combination. So that's why, like, now I say that first I was like recipe, grams, this, that, this ratio. And then I went to ratios. And then now it's like really into that overall, the feeling of cooking when I see just chiles every time that you get them in according to what time, when it is in the season, like they're going to be different. you know, they're right. going to taste different. You have to, so you have to be one with your ingredients. And it's hard to teach a cook who is 1 year cooking, 2 years cooking, 3 years cooking, especially when they're so ambitious where they just want to be Instagram right. famous, you know?
That's very interesting, the idea that at some point or another, and I think that a lot of people who just cook recreationally, who may be the person in their house that is, you know, in charge of that or really gets into it, they feel the same thing, that at a certain point you get to know the ingredients, and instead of following it's a half a cup.
Well, and then we have an open kitchen. Like, not only that, but, like, we like to get to know our guests, you know? Like, we're, like, right there. Like, we care about them. We're happy they're there. We want to share with them. That's kind of like the sentimental beauty part of it. And I think that, honestly, I think that vibe is what kind of got us at that list, you know, mm-hmm. so we're so excited because, like, we really feel our energy, you know, like, and we're like, this is awesome. Can't believe it, you know. So we're, like, extremely excited.
Chef Diana Davila in studio tonight. She is the chef and restaurateur behind the Logan Square restaurant, Mi Tocaya. And it was just on the Bon Appetit's top new restaurants list. You know, before we wrap up, to go from the kitchen, to go from cooking and the soul and the energy that goes into it to running a restaurant. Talk about that transition, because you mentioned you're at Cantina 1910, and that was as a chef, and you had a lot of responsibilities there. But this is really the dream. This is mm-hmm. this is your, what is it, 38 seats in Logan Square. And this is your baby.
Yeah.
It's been open for a couple months. What have you learned about not just the business, but yourself?
Well, I think that you have to, it's really, well, one, that money flies. You know, like, you have to really, I think if anything, I was just really surprised just how much everything costs, you yeah. know. And also you learn you have to prioritize. I mean, like, what is a necessity to the grand scheme of your plan, of your vision, of like do I really need, like, to this day, like, my biggest regret purchase is buying a $500 dehydrator, which I have yet to use. And I'm like, hate myself, because I'm like, I love dehydrators. I'm going to use this all the time. I'm like, I don't have the time right now to even use this thing. And it's just like sitting there looking at me, and I'm just like, ah, you know. So just like prioritizing what really is important. And then just always, I feel like all the time you have to kind of choose your battles. You have to 100% know that you cannot do everything yourself.
Yeah.
You know, like, yeah, you can't do everything yourself. So that's why building a team, you need to make sure that these people are a part of this, have your back, and are actually contributing, you know. So I think that's a really big, really big thing.
We have chefs on all the time. We talk about the lifestyle and the amount of work that goes into mm-hmm. to walk in the morning and not leave there till the
yeah.
morning.
You have to be obsessive.
For you to not only be a chef, but to have this be your own restaurant, do your hours double? Does it change? Talk about that lifestyle.
Well, I was always obsessive. So honestly, the hours are probably the same, just because, like, you know, yeah,
there's just
it
no
is
more
a
time.
Lifestyle. It's just like always the same. I think that, you know, I've always worked a ton of hours. I think what makes this time different is that I get to have my kids there whenever I want, that my husband comes in and sees me anytime he wants, you know, that my parents could come in and help and come in and, like, you know, that my, you know, like, that part of it is ridiculously nice. So at any given time, I could see my family anytime. And versus before, it's not like that. I can't have, even now, sometimes I'm like, my kids have to learn how to say behind, because these little kids are just like, you know, like, oh, they want a tres leches cake. I'm going to go get it. And, like, we're like, no, this is, or like, my daughter thinks that she could host, you know, like, it's just.
Any semblance?
I'm like, I have some boundaries of professionalism.
Resemblance, like, to you as a kid in Hacienda Jalapeno? Huh? Same idea, right?
I mean, I always wanted to be in the kitchen. I thought they were the coolest, you know, the coolest. Coolest cats ever, you know, and they would, you know, like, I always wanted to help, you know, so, you know, I don't know if my daughter, she's six, she necessarily, helping to her is playing with the Jets on the, to clean the glasses and bar, you know, so.
Well, it comes full circle.
Yeah.
Chef Diana Davila is the chef and restaurateur. Her restaurant, her Logan Square restaurant, Mi Tocaya and Tejeria, is on the Bon Appetit's top new restaurants list. Chef Davila, thanks so much for coming
Thank
in.
Thank you. And, come visit us.
Yeah, come visit Logan Square.